Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said adversity is the only diet that will reduce the fat head. We're happy to have the privilege of talking with you today about the Word of God. It's always a delight to be able to discuss the Bible and to learn more about what God wants of us. Indeed, we are the creation of God, and therefore we owe something unto our Creator. We need to find out what that is, and that's why we study our Bibles. We appreciate your listening to the program and would be delighted if you would tell others about the program and encourage them to listen as well. Let's begin studying and look at a statement that was made by the Apostle Paul that I think is very important to us and will help us in our study this week. Each time we study from the Word of God, it's with the purpose of doing what we can to correct our lives and to bring our lives in harmony with what God wants of us. But Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 22, made this question known to us. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Now think about it for a moment and look at the idea of provoking the Lord. I believe that indeed the conduct of man is sometimes in such a manner that God is provoked with what we're doing. You look about you and you look at the flippant way that people use the name of God. Look at the lack of respect there is in the world about us for the God of heaven. And you wonder somehow or other, is God's patience being tried? And just how long will He tolerate this kind of conduct? Provoking God is no little thing. Remember, you and I are the creation of God. God in the beginning created the heaven and the earth. All things that are therein were created by Him. Then on the sixth day, the Bible tells us that God said, "Let us make man after our image and after our likeness." And so God created man and then later created woman. But the point is simply that God is the Creator. As the Creator, He has every right to expect of that which He has created. He expects of us respect and honor and appreciation. But instead of giving that to God, the world seems that they have in their mind doing anything that they can to provoke and aggravate God in one way or another. Well, that's not something new with our generation, as I'm sure you're aware of, because the Bible records many times man's conduct provoking God. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and pointed out to them that the walk of life that they were engaged in should be designed to please God. The walk simply implies the everyday manner of life. And so our manner of life ought to please God. But I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that not everything men do meets the approval of God. You look about you and you see at times men doing such terrible things, and we begin to wonder how could human beings even conceive of some of the terrible things that are being done in the world about us. Surely God is upset and provoked with that manner of conduct. So in our study this week, we'd like to talk to you about provoking God. You know, you go back to the book of Genesis, and you have the creation of man, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, but then very early in the conditions of men, sin entered into the world, chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. God gave limitations, telling man what he ought to do, what he cannot do, but man decided that instead of respecting God's law, by not taking of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil that God had forbidden, man decided he didn't need to listen to God. And so Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death is passed on all men, for all have sinned. In other words, man just simply did the wrong thing. And God was unhappy with mankind because he sinned and violated his law. Sin, by definition, is transgression of the law of God. I read that in 1 John 3 and verse 4, when the record says, whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ committeth sin, for sin is transgression of the law. So when a person transgresses law that God has given, it provokes God. God doesn't want us sinning. He doesn't want us doing the wrong thing. But look at how he must feel when he looks down on the human family, and instead of getting the love and respect that he ought to have, he sees people turning away from him and not even considering his will in regard to their everyday manner of conduct. No wonder God would be provoked with that kind of situation. Well, of course, the Bible teaches that that's what man did, and there was also a time that, well, God's patience wore out. That's very clearly seen in the fact that at the time of the sin of man in the very beginning, God decided to send a flood on the face of the earth. During the days of Noah, you read it in the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, the time came that God was just provoked with man. Notice what the Bible says about man. His every imagination and thought was evil, and that continually. There can be no question but that man had sinned. He'd gone so far away from God and from his will. Well, what did God decide to do? There's also, with sin, a consequence. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, man sinning had to pay the price. And so the flood came upon the earth, and Noah, a preacher of righteousness, spent his time trying to get people to turn away from their sin and to come back and to respect God. His message was received by only those of his own family. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives were those who listened to what was being said and were able to enter into the ark and be spared from the destruction that came on mankind. God was provoked to the point that he destroyed the world. Now, he gave a promise that he would not do that in the same manner again. And that's the rainbow that we see in the sky about us. Every time we see a rainbow, we ought to remember God promised, I will not destroy the world by flood again. But, friends, very clearly, God has pointed out that man will be held responsible for his conduct. And the time is coming when we will pay the price for the sin that we commit. Do we provoke God? Look about you and listen as people use God's name, a holy and reverent name, use it as a byword. They fill in their sentences by using God's name in a vain way. Somehow or other, you must feel that there is a provoking of the Father in heaven by our conduct. We'll have more to say about that this week. I hope you'll be listening. Remember, in the meantime, it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.